This message has been on my heart for a little while, and I sense that a lot of people, I think, are at this place. Most of us experience spiritual dry spots, dry seasons occasionally. I don't want a show of hands. Some of us even have temporary lapses of faith. And I alluded to this last week, and then I found this in an article that very much says the same thing that I said last week in just a little different way. Why does it seem like we go through this dry season, or as a pastor, and this guy is a bishop in the Anglican Church in England, is quite a prolific writer. His name is Bishop N.T. Wright. And he was addressing the question of, why does it seem that God used to do things, but He doesn't do things anymore? And honestly, I think that's a misperception. I alluded last week that there was hundreds of years during the Bible that it seemed that God did nothing. And I found that in his writing, he said almost the exact same thing. And he alluded to this. He said, Isaiah, if you read through Isaiah, Isaiah is a very lengthy prophecy. And much of the prophecy that comes out of Isaiah the prophet is concerning the coming Messiah, coming King. And you read that and you see and getting people all excited about their deliverer coming, about God coming to the earth and delivering His people and setting up His kingdom. But do you realize it was 500 years after Isaiah prophesied that Jesus came? 500 years from getting people all excited about this deliverer coming, 500 years later, and it seemed that during that 500 years that God was almost completely silent in the earth. Talk about a dry season. You know, talk about, and last week I tried to figure out how old America is, and I'm not going to do that again today. I'm not good with math on my feet. But during those 500 years, many people prayed, they struggled. Many people said, well, you know, that was just wishful thinking. It's never going to happen. They gave up. But they prayed and they waited, and then, bam, Jesus came. N.T. Wright went on to say, if God has kept you in a dark moment, it may be because you have to go through a winter season, in order that the spring, when it comes, will find those new plants well-rooted and well-bedded in. It's like planting a seed in autumn. It seems that nothing is happening for months throughout the wintertime. Yet the seed is germinating, out of sight, underground. It needs to be there in the darkness. In the spring, when the new shoots happen, it looks sudden to us, but actually growth was happening all during that season of darkness, that dry time. In a dark or a dry spot, God is still working in our lives. The seed of God's Word is growing out of sight. So don't lose heart. You will reap a good harvest if you do not give up and quit. So at least just nod at me. I don't want a show of hands, but how many of you can identify with going through a dry season or just a dark time spiritually? Everybody. If you'd look around, everybody's doing this. Does that mean God is not at work? Does that mean that we're far away from God? Not necessarily. It could be that the seed has been planted and it's just working in the darkness. It's working in that dry season. It's working out of sight. But it doesn't mean that God is not at work. For 500 years, come on, it looked like God had ignored His Word to His people. It looked like He had gone silent. It looked like He had abandoned them. And then, bam, the greatest thing that's ever happened in human history happened. Jesus came. So if you're in a dark spot, if you're in a dry season, it does not mean that God has abandoned you. But look, we don't just harvest continually in our lives. That's unreasonable. Now look, I talked to a farmer a little bit before service this morning. I mean, it's harvest season. We have Lainey this weekend, and Michelle and Lainey were going to go for a stroll. I said, well, hey, let me go, because there's a lot of trucks moving up and down our road. I just want to make sure I'm there and, you know, everybody sees us. And if we have to take the ditch, you know, we're going to be ready for that. I like harvest time. I mean, we like harvest time. I mean, when I was a farmer and we weaned our calves and we sold our harvest all within about a 30, 45-day period of time, I got paid once a year back in the day. This was a good time. But there's a lot of time when it seems like nothing's happening on the farm. It's just the same old, it's not that exciting. In fact, it's just a lot of work. And then, bam, payday comes. So if you're going through that dryness, don't lose heart. There's seasons that requires us to plant. And then there's seasons where it requires us to wait. But you know, that's the thing of faith. We wouldn't need faith if just every day was exciting and everything was, come on, ice cream and roses and all of that, but that's not reality and that's not life. And so I just want us to think about a little bit this morning what to do in this drier time. So look with me into Ephesians chapter 5. No. Before we go there, go to John 7. Let's look and see what Jesus said first, and then we'll go back to Ephesians 5 where we left off last week. John 7, and I really like this. I like it because Jesus said it. Would you stand together with me as we read from John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's pray. Father, many of us are thirsty today. Many of us are dry. And so, Lord, teach us how to navigate through the dry time, through the dark time. Teach us how to depend on the Holy Spirit and not look to outward circumstances for our satisfaction, not to look to outward circumstances for our joy, not to look to outward circumstances for our peace, not to look to outward circumstances for our satisfaction, but to look inwardly, because Jesus, you said that out of our belly, out of our inmost being would flow rivers of living water. And you were speaking about the Holy Spirit, so teach us about the Holy Spirit today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead and be seated. Thirst. Jesus said, let those who thirst, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Thirst suggests that one is dry. I mean, have you ever been there, like you just, maybe you were out exercising or you were out working and maybe you failed to take water with you and you were just so thirsty. And nothing will satisfy at that moment except water. Except just cool, refreshing water. There's nothing that will satisfy that other than that. I mean, have you ever been there? Or maybe, you know, I remember when Michelle and I were first married, we played a little bit of golf before, you know, we had children. And then we had this whole season of our life where basically it was go to work and change diapers, go to a ball game, go to bed. And we didn't play a lot of golf during that season. But before we had children, I remember we were playing golf at the Savannah golf course, and I just remember at the end of that being so thirsty. You remember that? Being so thirsty. And this wasn't water, but just a nice cold. It was the best Pepsi I ever had in my life. Why? Because we were so thirsty, and only something wet and cold and refreshing would do it. So if you're thirsty today, don't go looking for the wrong thing to satisfy that longing of your heart, because the only thing that's going to fix it, come on, is the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And don't go looking outwardly, because if you're born again, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus promised us that if He was going to go away to heaven, that He was going to send the Holy Spirit. Not only would He be with us, but He would be in us. And He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly, out of your inmost being. The Proverbs say that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of our belly. I was talking to one of our parents and with a elementary age son and asked, Dad, could you explain to me what is your soul? Be glad you don't get that question. But it's the innermost part of our being. It's the real me. It's the part of me that has never changed. Did you ever think that when I grow up, I'm going to be somebody different? And then you realize you're just still the same person you were when you were 12 years old. Maybe just a little more mature, hopefully, but the same. And I'm just telling you, we look for outward things to fix an internal problem, and it doesn't work. We look to outward things to solve an internal problem, and it does not work, and I need a better amen. But this river of living water, you don't have to linger helplessly in an extended dry season, because the cure is on the inside of you. It's not the latest, greatest. It's in you. The answer to your problem is inside of you if you're born again. The answer to your longing, the answer to your confusion, the answer to your dryness, the answer to your darkness is that river of living water, and He was speaking concerning the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 107, verse 35, the psalmist said, He turns the wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There He makes the hungry dwell, that He may establish His city for a dwelling place. He was speaking concerning the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 again this morning. I was talking to a lady recently, and she's just convinced if she can just get out of this town, her problem will be solved. You know the problem with that is, don't you? In the same way that you take your solution is in you, I don't mean to be mean, but the problem's there too. Outward circumstances is not going to fix it. Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your inmost being will flow rivers. Rivers of living water. Verse 15 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, and we read this last week, but let's look at it from a little different slant this week. See then that you walk circumspectly, thoughtfully, carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. The idea of being a fool here is being an unthinking person. Being wise is being a thinking or a thoughtful person. Redeeming the time instead of wasting it, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise or unthinking, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, debauchery, it leads to ruin, but be filled with the Spirit. Let me just pause there for just a second. The idea here is that being drunk with wine, that alcohol is now controlling you. And it will take you someplace you don't want to be. But there's all kinds of other things that will do that. Lust will take you someplace you don't want to be. For example, you can be a workaholic and it will take you someplace that you don't want to be. Some people are obsessed with their hobbies and it will take you someplace you don't want to be. You thought you were going to be satisfied with this, but it's led to financial ruin, relational breakup. I mean, some people are so obsessed with their hobbies that they neglect their family. Are you following me? Don't let some outside thing control your life that will ruin you. Everything works a lot better in moderation. Amen? Except this one thing. You can't get too much Holy Spirit in your life. In the same way that alcohol can consume you and control you, and it leads to ruin. How many of you have ever observed somebody ruining something because of drunkenness? We've all probably observed that. We were never that person, but we know somebody. The idea is that we could allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. Instead of yielding ourselves to something hurtful, harmful, dangerous, we can yield to the Holy Spirit, and He makes everything better. You follow me? So, let's live circumspectly. Thoughtfully, carefully. Don't be a fool. Don't be an unthinking person. Be a wise person. Be a thinking person. I talked to somebody one time, and they were kind of amazed that you can use your brain and follow Jesus. Because some people have this idea, we just have to shut down all rational thoughts and then just follow the Lord, but I'm telling you, it's the exact opposite. I'm telling you, thinking people follow Jesus, and thinking people make the best Christ followers because they're not tossed to and fro by emotions. They're not tossed to and fro by their circumstances. It's just what is controlling our thoughts. Right? So there's three types of brains. There's three types of minds that I'd like to address this morning. One is that empty mind. An empty mind is unprotected, giving little thought to what enters it, waits for some outward, external presence to fill it. But Paul said, live circumspectly, live thoughtfully, live carefully, not as a fool, but as a wise person. Again, it's like, are you a thinking person or an unthinking person? Some people's minds are just empty. That would have been a good opportunity to elbow your neighbor. I mean, you just don't know where they're going to go. It's just waiting for... They seem to be a parrot of who they were with last. And so they're very, very prone to environmental influences. So whatever they're around seems to really dominate them and really influence them. You know, it's why, you know, before your children grow up and leave home, you need to teach them to be a thinking person, need to teach them to be, you know, somebody makes their own decisions and so forth. So when they get in that college environment, they're just not just tossed to and fro by whoever they're with, and they're just trying to be and trying to fit in and trying to be popular and trying to be liked, and so they just go along with whatever because their minds are empty. Sorry. But if they go in as a thinking person, they know the kind of person they want to be. They know what they want to accomplish. And so those outside circumstances don't determine what they do and don't do. You know, I went into a certain college class and it was supposed to be an easy A, but I sat next to this kid that had a worse attitude than me, which was kind of difficult. And we sat there and influenced each other in a negative way in this college fiction class. You read stories and answered questions. I got a C in an easy A class because I had an empty mind. And I let somebody else influence me. You know, you kind of have to read the stories to be able to answer the questions. So we just talk to each other, this is just dumb, the professor's dumb, and this whole thing's dumb, and you know, all the stuff she says is dumb. You know who was dumb? Never mind. Empty mind. But a disciplined Christ follower purposely fills her mind with edifying information, allowing productive and healthy thoughts to dominate. Look, we live in an evil day. I can't just let everything fill my mind, because whatever's filling, it's going to displace some good stuff. The other thing is this unrestrained mind. Words travel through the brain unchecked, straight to the lips. Talking without thinking. Do you ever do that? You know, Morgan, yesterday we were watching a football game, and I was being very critical of the announcer. He said, you know, for somebody that speaks publicly for a living, you're awfully critical of people that speak publicly for a living. Because, you know, they're trying to fill all this time. And they just say dumb stuff sometimes. They weren't thinking about what they said. You know, here's how dumb this is, okay? Follow me? I said, yeah, I think he came up short of the first down there. I thought, yeah, like about 6 yards short of the first down. You know, it's 10 yards for a first down. And Morgan's like, you don't have to say everything you're thinking. Because the fact of the matter is, I wasn't really thinking about it. It just passed unchecked. This kind of person does not listen well. What does the Bible tell us about listening and speaking? What are we supposed to be? Slow to speak and quick to listen. But so many people that have this unrestrained mind invert that. And they're so quick to speak and so slow to listen. My dad was known to be a very wise person. I suppose that he was. But you know why people thought my dad was so wise? Because he was slow to speak, he was quick to listen. He listened for a long time before he opened his mouth and spoke. And so when he spoke, he generally had something to say. The trouble with a lot of us is we talk when we don't have anything to say at all. And it gets us in trouble. Look, the warning here is to be a circumspect person, to be a thoughtful person, to be a careful person. Because we live in these evil days, and fools don't think. Wise people think about things. And we're getting ourselves in trouble a lot of times because we have this unrestrained mind. We don't listen well. We don't reflect on information before acting or speaking. You know, generally good rule of thumb on buying things. Right? If you walk away from it, the chances are you're not coming back to it. Right? You ever buy something impulsively and later it's like, oh, why did I do that? That's dumb. Because we're not thinking enough. And maybe that is not a big deal, you know, because you bought a pair of tennis shoes. But there's a lot of other things. If we're not restrained a little more in our thinking, it's getting us in trouble, right? But here's a healthy mind. Here's a healthy mind, a spiritual mind, is marked by humility, one that's submitted to God's Word and the Holy Spirit, bases decisions on God's principles and leadership. One of the reasons that we push so much this idea of dailychapel.com is that you're taking time to allow God's Word to penetrate your heart and mind. That you're reading and reflecting on Scriptures. It's chock full of Psalms and a New Testament reading, some prayers. And I find that there's some prayers. My prayer life becomes very repetitive. without some outside influence because I'm praying about self, you know, I'm praying about my family, I'm praying about the church and so forth. That's good, but sometimes I need some other thoughts that causes me to expand my thinking and pray about other things that I would not have thought of on my own. And that's why coming to church is so important, because you're sitting down reflecting on your life right now. And you're taking what I'm saying and against, you know, what's going on in your life. And you're being thoughtful about, boy, do I do this, or do I do that, or do I need to change this? And so what you're doing this morning is very, very helpful in getting out of this dry season. You're saying, this sermon's dry. If you could get me out of this season, I'd thank you very much. I'm about ready to tell you what to do here. I know what you're thinking. We need to purposely do some things. That's a healthy mind. That's a spiritual mind. If you, Sunday morning, again, I say I don't remember ever being invited to church because it was Sunday. We just got up and went to church. And I can't think of a long extended period of time in my life where I ever felt away from God. Why? Because I never got away from God, because it was Sunday morning. We just got up and we went to Sunday school. We went to church. It was something that we purposely, thoughtfully, we just did it regularly. And it will keep you from going through long seasons of dry spots with the Lord, because you're not just allowing the outward circumstances to determine your decisions. That's not thinking real soundly. That's a mind that's either unrestrained or it's not filled up with the right thing. But a healthy mind makes decisions, and it has to do with getting myself in a small group of people. And we have the most wonderful Sunday school classes that you could be part of every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock right here. And we have wonderful life groups, disciple groups that are happening on Wednesday night for the women that are filling up the sanctuary here, and the men that are, they're meeting over with me. But it's just purposely deciding, I'm going to put God's Word in my thoughts, in my thinking. And again, you don't have to follow dailychapel.com, but you should have some kind of Bible reading program that you just stick with it. It's something about the consistency of that that will shorten those dry seasons. So if you just emotionally respond to, you know, people do this with the Lord. They look to the Lord when they're in trouble. And I look around the room today and see that they must be through their trouble because I haven't seen them in a while. They run to God when they're in trouble, but when they don't sense that trouble anymore, they run away and go back to their old way of doing things, which leads me to know that in a few months from now, I'm going to be getting a phone call. Why? Because they're going to sense that they're away from God and they're in trouble again. Are you following me with this morning? Other people are this way with following the Lord. I call them sort of flower power Christians, sort of hippie Christians. They can kind of hang with God as long as there's no stress involved with it. Long as everything's peaceful, long as everything's groovy, I can show up. But you put a little pressure on them, they run away from God. Some people run towards God when they're in trouble. Other people run away from God when trouble comes. But I'm saying, if you want to be this spiritual person that's not tossed to and fro by the circumstances of life, if you don't want to go through these extended dry season periods of your life, you need to be thinking. You need to be a thoughtful, you need to be a circumspect person, and because the days are evil. There's all kinds of things in the world that are just going to pull at you and tug at you and get you away from God. Are you following me? So there's a consistency in very purposely putting God's Word in my heart, making sure that I stay in fellowship. You know, one of the greatest things about coming to church is just all the people that we see in the conversations and the health and the people that love us and so forth. And there's something about worshiping. Now, let's wrap this up. Look at verse 19. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitted to one another in the fear of God. There's something about the Psalms that's able to lift us out of that spiritual dryness. I mean, there's just something about the Psalms. Look at Psalm 42. And let's just close with these two Psalms. So if you find yourself in that dry season away from God, then speak to yourself and speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And see if meditating on the Psalms won't lift you up out of that dryness, out of that darkness. Instead of waiting for some external stimulus to break you out of your funk, why don't you just decide? Why don't you just decide, I'm going to get us out of here? Because Jesus said that out of my innermost being would flow rivers of living water. But if you've been neglecting the Holy Spirit that's within you, He's not going to hijack your life. He's not just going to beat the door down and make you. Come on. My dad always used to say, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He will not force Himself upon you. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him. He comes in by invitation. So we can build ourselves up. We can stay full of the Holy Spirit. We can stay more controlled and yielded to the Holy Spirit, but it's not automatic. It's by speaking to ourselves and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I mean, didn't you, come on, have some Holy Spirit interaction as we were worshiping with the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs this morning? But you know what? You can't take Chad home with you. You can listen, and that's why I like Christian radio, and that's why I like Christian music, and that's why, there are some useful things about the internet now. You can put the music on that you just want to listen to. And I find some wonderful things all the time. But there's always something that you can do. You could go to Psalm 42, which says, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Man, doesn't this describe somebody that's going through some stuff? But you know what? He doesn't just stay there. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and this is not David, but it reminds me of David. He said, when I remembered these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you in the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and from the hill of Mazar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. I shall yet praise Him and the help of my countenance and my God. Guys, don't wait for some outside influence. If you're going to wait for the outside voices, they're going to discourage you more. Remember, when you joined the company and came into the presence of God with joy and rejoicing, be like that thirsty animal that's longing for the refreshing, cool streams of water, and just do something about it yourself today. Just do something about it yourself today. Decide that I'm not going to wait until I feel like praising God. I'm not going to wait till my circumstances change. I am so thirsty today. I'm going to come and drink of the Spirit of God. And I'm going to encourage myself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm going to make sure that I get in the company of the saints where somebody's going to encourage me if I'm down. And if they're down, I'm going to encourage them. Come on, if I got away from Christian fellowship for 3 weeks, you don't think I could backslide? Of course I could. We must stay in the presence of God and the presence of God's people and the Word of God and continue to stir ourselves up and allow that river of living water to refresh us continually. Let's stand up and praise God. Chad's going to lead you in a psalm, a spiritual song. And why don't you allow the refreshing waters of Christ, the refreshing waters of the Holy Spirit to flow through you. Man, don't go out of this building dry if you came in dry. Go out refreshed from the presence of God. Amen.